Hello, hello everyone, and welcome to Star Trek Hanasto, a Klingon 25th century Star Trek Adventures game using the rules by Modiphius Entertainment. My name is ELH the Game Master, and joining me are four lovely individuals who we'll meet right now, starting with Mr. Steadfast Pig.
Hello, I'm Steadfast Pig, playing the lovely Brigadier General Akrak, who is just an old man, just trying to get by, living life. Excited to be here again to continue our lovely, beautiful journey.
Love it. Kern, you're up next.
All right. I'm Kern. I play Dagon. He's the chief engineer for the fleet, and he's going to have lots of more to say today.
I would hope so. Oh, Lord. Donut, you're up next.
Hello, I'm Dona. I play Kanas, who got to medical herself last time, and hopefully it's just a flesh wound. We're fine. Everything's fine. We're not dead yet.
Mm-hmm. You feeling better?
Oh yeah, we're doing great here. It was not a good day to die. Maybe today will be.
Oh, there you go. And last but not least, Mon Jaden. Is he inline muted, as is tradition?
All right.
Oh no, he might be.
Hold on. Does he remember to push the talk, as is tradition?
Did you remember? Are you on push the talk?
Well, this is always a fun part of the episode where we decide whether or not, you know.
Oh no! Transporter accident is what he's saying.
Well, I'm sure he'll be back shortly, so let's go ahead and get the intro going, and maybe during the intro he'll be all right. And welcome back. So, since Colonel Mori was a little bit under the weather or having a transport accident, would you care to introduce yourself this time, Mon Jaden?
Sup, Mon Jaden playing Colonel Mori of House Povich. Mori, son of Povich of House Mokil, the fleet's adjutant, advocate officer, lawyer, upkeep, diplomat, and always beleaguered old guy.
Yep, I feel that in my core. All right, well, as is tradition here, as is tradition, we are going to have one of the players do an opening log, and I believe Captain Dagon, you have that honor tonight.
I do. So, my personal log. This is the first day of the month of Dokath in the year of Kalis, 1046. The Hanasto and its attached vessels are undergoing last-minute checks as she heads towards the edge of the Milky Way galaxy. Once there, the journey to Seg-1 will take approximately 3 months, using the newly developed coaxial warp drive. Since this particular technology has a massive power draw and cycle time, it is not suitable for normal intra-galaxy trips. Most regrettable. It will be something to look into while during my downtime. Glorithar, the oracle we saved during our last mission, has taken over one of the temples of worship on the promenade as her own. The previous head priest has complained endlessly about this, despite having lost a hand in a duel against her. Even though I have recruited amongst the best engineers in the Empire to maintain this fleet, I want to make sure that they keep the highest standard. So while we travel to our destination, I will be scheduling some surprise inspections for all of them. so far, all have been above my standards, so no one has had to die. As for the Lusto, I'm familiarizing myself with all her quirks so that I can stay physically and mentally fit. My search for a training partner starts today. End log.
Love it. You may have one momentum for that opening log. Oh, and I have a complication from chat already. Well, I'm going to store that complication.
Nice. Oh.
So I think where we're going to begin is we're actually going to begin with all of you in one of the premier bars and clubs aboard the Hanasto. It's not quite your daily stand-up, if you'll pardon the business term, but it's something that even though you've only 2 days into your journey, it's becoming kind of a ritual for all of you to just kind of show up to one of the bars and just sort of shoot the shit and just, you know, crosstalk across departments. Specifically, you all are at Boy Nagop, or literally the plates are full, or also known to say that's great news in Klingon. No matter what your poison is, whether it's drink, fighting, flesh, politicking, this club has it all. And I'd like you to imagine if Quarks was about 2 times the size and had a lot more Klingon trappings, that's more or less what Boy Nagop looks like. Interestingly, there is actually a Ferengi bartender, Shazi. She's a female, which is kind of rare for Ferengi, but even since Rom took over the Empire, female Ferengi have been getting out there, so good for her. But the actual owner of Boy Nagop is a Gorn known as Seal. And Seal is one of those owners that kind of mingles with the patrons. So every once in a while, you'll see this giant Gorn kind of come over and be like, "Are you enjoying your meal?" And, you know, kind of just mingling with the guests. But since you all are very much of a high rank and you do very important things for the fleet, you have your own special table that is reserved for you every morning on the second floor. And the other thing I'll say is that since this club is off the promenade, you do see out across the promenade of the Hanasto. Now, similar to DS9, this promenade is just store after store, locale after locale. But since the Hanasto's promenade literally runs the neck of the vessel, it's not just entertainment and businesses. You're seeing things like the Targ farms in the distance. You're seeing the Bloodwine wineries that are aboard the ship. You're seeing all these different mingling, mostly Klingon, but there are other species on the ship. But it's kind of a melting pot of every single species found in the Klingon Empire. You're also seeing that there is a statue of Kaelas about way, way down, probably towards the mid-vessel, or midships, I believe is the term, where there's this giant statue of Kaelas in a arboretum, kind of like Central Park in New York. And there's also statues of important figureheads from all the houses who contributed to the construction of the Hanasto. But, as I said, you all are currently on the second floor of Boy Nagop, and I'm going to let you take it from there, and we'll just sort of see what happens.
Nice. Cool. It's called Boy Nagop, and then who was the Gorn guy? I'm taking notes.
Seal, and if it helps, if you actually go in the journals tab and you go to locales aboard the Hanasto, Boy Nagop already has a entry for you.
Oh, cool.
Oh, nice.
Oh, I'm looking at
it. Oh, the contrast. Oh.
Yeah, we got to tell you about colors here.
Yellow,
well,
white,
that's unfortunately something you got to do on your side, I think, because I can set it to be one thing for me, but it unfortunately it doesn't echo to everybody else.
Yup. Okay, cool.
I'm going to have to figure that out, or at least change the,
You know, let's take a second, because I do want to make sure you all can actually read it. I believe if you go to Configure Settings in the Gear tab, and then you go to Monk's Enhanced Journal on the left tab of the window that pops up. You want to change the background color, background image, and sidebar menu image.
Gotcha.
And hopefully that'll let you figure out a nice combination that'll actually let you read it. Because, yeah, I will say the default is not great.
I accidentally turned mine into the high school composition book. Help!
Nice. Yeah, it's much better. I've done like marble black and I can read it.
Oh, hold on. I still didn't get it to. Oh, maybe I didn't hit save. I didn't hit save.
Oh, yeah. Beautiful. Oh, perfect. Yeah. Awesome. Thank you.
Yeah, there you go. But yeah, as I said, you guys are chilling in Boyne Gap. Take it from there.
Oh, perfect.
Nice. How many other individuals are in Boyne Gap? I know you said it's kind of the elite place, so is it a little exclusive? What's the vibe like?
So it is a little exclusive. You do have to be a captain and up to even get in the doors. And that is strictly enforced by a series of very, very tall and muscular Klingons that, if I had to use the word bouncer, I think it's not quite the right word, because even all of you seasoned veteran warriors, like these bouncers would be able to easily throw you on your ass if there was trouble causing.
Honor guards?
Honor guards would be a good term, yeah.
Very good.
So now, I have a question.
Go ahead. No, you.
No, please. GM's first.
The only other thing I was going to say is you can bring in lower officers if they're part of your entourage, but lower officers can't just walk in without an escort, if that makes sense.
Gotcha. Okay.
To whom has the priest been complaining? The one who lost his hand to Glorythar?
I think to you, mostly. Because in fact, let's give this priest a name. Let me consult my list of names.
Nice.
We're going to call the priest that lost his hand. His name is Krahar Thig. I put it in chat for you all. Cool. So Krahar Thig is the priest that lost his hand to Glorythar. And yeah, I think he has complained to you, Mori, more than anybody else.
All right.
Lucky you.
I'm slamming down the blood wine mug at the table as I bring it up, grumbling. I have had so much time with such a honorless priest whose hand is too damnably far from his throat, which Glorythar should have cut on their first meeting. Gonna quaff a big couple of gulps of blood wine. This should not stand, and I hope, against hope, he insults some of us just enough.
He's got another hand. If he mouths off again, I make like a slicing motion and then have some blood wine myself.
He should have allowed himself to be taken then and there. There is no shame in being defeated by an oracle. There is even less shame in dying to a superior one.
His complaints, heavily dishonorable.
And yet they are within the realms of the needful tasks that we must endure. Everything that he brings forth is a fact and a point of truth rather than a point of honor. It is far less simple to dispatch those with the back of end of a batleth.
You know, we do need, some practice dummies, so perhaps I'll invite him to the holodeck.
It is something that I shall look forward to dealing with in my own time. This is a matter of the ship's council, and this is a matter of record. The second it becomes a matter of song is when we get to at least use his lifeless corpse for target practice.
Blah. There you go.
Other than this one guy, how has the Honasto been taking having the Oracle on board?
Well, what I would say is that the Oracle has been well received. The fact that... Well, let me ask this. Would you all have told the truth of what you learned from the Oracle? Like, would this be something that is common knowledge at this point?
Does that include the time stuff?
That's why I'm asking, to see if you've talked about the time stuff at all.
I would say no. Yeah, especially for the general crew, I think that would be something that is not openly discussed. Sure we would have had to discuss that with our higher ups and command kind of units, but I don't think that the general crew we would have wanted to have any discussions about that with.
Although I'm wondering if people would have read between the lines of chronologically the Oracle that there would have been time shenanigans if it was the same Oracle after all of those years, but...
We hold on a chunk of ancient warship with the intent to forge it into weapons as souvenirs and an equally ancient Oracle. If the crew has not put one and two together, then it's not our fault that they're not the brightest stars in the galaxy.
Look, you don't have to be smart to have honor.
I mean, valid. Valid. All right, so we'll say for that instance that the story of the Brekthor Reach, or I think it's Brekthor, it's been a while, the fact that you brought the Oracle back and there was a glorious combat, you got her blessing, the whole nine yards. The crew is very much accepting of Glorythar, but as you said, it's very much kind of an open secret that there may be time shenanigans going on, but it's not a... full announcement to the rest of the crew. The command staff know, the admirals know, but just not the average lay person, quote unquote, aboard the Hinosto.
Gotcha. But they could bring rationalize up a, it away if they wanted to.
It does bring up a another question, though. What did you end up doing with the Chronoton generator?
It's in engineering.
I was going to say, right to engineering. That presence of a Chronoton engine, you know, I think, you know, they would be more intellectually curious.
No, we just made it the cook.
I mean, you would be able
to cook things really quickly.
Yeah, you'd either be able to cook things really quickly or you'd be able to age blood wine like that.
Yeah, I was about to say.
I feel like it is kind of win-win. Yeah, like make jerky immediately. Like, come on.
It's pretty cool.
Klingons, when you give them a time machine, they don't mess with the time stream. They make food with it.
I'm all for that, actually.
Honorable food.
All right, petition to use to set up the Chronoton as like the new sous chef.
Nice. It's gonna be like that's in Dagon's warehouse now. It's in engineering. Yep. I feel like it's gone. It's perfectly his.
Well, a Chronoton particle
generator. Chateau Dagon.
But yeah, I think it would be like, to me, my read on it is that, you know, we brought back the Oracle, and if people wanted to rationalize as like, oh, it was a long line of various Oracles, and, you know, it was just a title, not a single person, like however they want to rationalize potential time shenanigans, that's fine. It is a thing about the Chronoton generator, but that doesn't necessarily, 1 + 1 doesn't necessarily have to equal 2, I guess. Mm-hmm. Like, they could... You know, it was very clear that the road to the path to the Oracle was treacherous. Not everybody made it anyway. So who could say that it was related to the Oracle herself, I guess, is the open secret we can keep going with.
Noted.
I mean, look, put it to you like this. Who is going to challenge us? Who's going to try to say that we are lying and misleading and wants to, you know, do some, you know, low rank, son of forgettable, say that you are lying and you are without honor. All right, slice.
Well, it's funny you say who's going to attack you because I have a right from chat.
Yeah, for sure. I was going to say,
is there a one other priest sneaking up behind me?
No, there's not a priest, but there is a member of one of the major houses, House Serve. And let me consult my list of names and we'll give this guy a name. This is Growlo, son of Serve. Let me type that out. Son of
Serv. He's an heir. Nice.
Yes. So Growlo, son of Serv, is a captain, and he is obviously free to come and go from Boyne Gap as he wishes. And let's just say that he's on the night shift. So where you all are just starting the day, he is ending his night. And you can tell just by the amount of time you've spent in Boyne Gap that he goes pretty hard on the blood wine. So as you all are discussing, you see Growlo coming over, and he's stumbling a bit. He's got his dagger kind of, not brandished, but he's got it out, and he's kind of wobbling, and he goes, "Hey, I wanted to talk to you all about the Oracle."
"We did not invite you to our table, Captain."
"You don't invite Growlo, son of Serv. Growlo, son of Serv, goes where he pleases."
"It is most likely in your best interest to go to bed, Growlo, son of Serv.
Do not further embarrass yourself."
So our first roll of the game, at least this one, will be a presence and a command, or if Kanas wants to do it, a presence and medicine.
Go ahead.
I was going to say the difficulty on this would just be a one.
I have a presence and command, and then I can do a diffuse attention.
That would give you an extra die if I remember diffuse attention.
Yes, sir. Yep.
All right. So does everybody roll it, or only one person is?
You can assist, and remember, on an assist, it is one die that you're rolling, and if you have a focus that applies, focuses still come into play.
Cool. Would you say leadership, composure?
I would say both would apply.
Copy that.
Yeah, I'll assist just by being, you know, the surgeon and being like, is this guy completely chemically inebriated, or is there any sort of rationale left in this?
How many of his livers are cirrhotic right now?
Right, yeah, is he dealing with a full deck here or not?
Nice. All right, I will spend the one momentum to go to three die, and then diffuse the tension will give me the one up to four, and I'm hoping to just grab some extra momentum on this one.
All right. Well, I have good news and I have bad news. There's a complication.
Yeah, it's fine.
But let's see what Kanas rolls, because Kanas could get you more.
All right, that's just regular, straight up.
Yep, and remember, it is 1d20.
1d20.
Okay, so that's a grand total of six successes, which means you get five momentum back.
Nice investment.
Yeah,
nice definitely investment. Definitely pretty solid, yeah.
But so here's the complication. So you imply and are able to tell that Growlo, son of Serv, is very, very drunk. The man has been pounding blood wine for probably the past hour, and it's the equivalent of doing like a Jaeger bomb and then a shot of Everclear and then having a shot of Everclear Jello. Like, this man has made some very, very bad decisions.
What is he, the captain of the garbage?
Well, you
captain
know,
of night ship janitorial staff. Yeah,
I mean, perhaps we can make him in charge of the garden.
I mean, you all make the joke, but you know, we'll say the janitorial services aboard the Hanasto do have to make sure the shit goes where it needs to.
It's true. So. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
True.
Does he outrank any of us, or
no?
Is he
he's a captain. So, no. But here's what happens. So
he's equivalent of rank with most of us.
Yeah. So you imply to him that this is a bad idea. He should go home. He's drunk. He should just leave. And he does one of those things where he's like, you know, you're right. I need to go battle my hard, rock solid bed. And then he turns. He gets about 3 feet, and then he stumbles. And he falls on his face, but remember, he had his dagger out, he falls onto his dagger. Now, he's not going to die immediately, but he has very much just stabbed his liver, at least one of them.
One of them. The one that was probably not cirrhosis infected, yeah.
And everyone in the bar is now laughing at him, right?
Yeah, yeah,
for yes,
sure.
Yes,
yes. Yeah. All right, I'll summon some of the juniors to take him away and... I guess.
Transport him out.
Yeah, just get him out of here.
And get this filth out of here.
Bring him to sick bay and make sure he didn't do any that much more damage.
And
know.
Skip the anesthetic.
Make sure he sits in his embarrassment for some time.
Yeah, you know, we can make sure today this was not going to kill him, nor should it, but maybe he'll die of embarrassment instead.
I'm sure that we will hear about this from KR soon. But at least it's in the right way.
Somehow it's Glorithar's fault.
I mean, whatever. He couldn't even get out what the problem was. So, all right, my dude.
Yeah, we'll let him go on.
If it was that big of an issue, if it was that critical, he'll remember when he's sober.
Dagon, I'm going to the... I guess Mangholm today to inspect their command crew. You like to accompany? Have you done their engineering inspections yet?
I haven't done that one yet. No. So I guess I'll be surprising them.
It's always very entertaining to see how they react.
Indeed.
What does the day have for you, Ganas, Mori?
I have a wonderful stack of forms of honor which must be reconciled and correlated against the crew's updated requests for their song inclusions. They are earned, they are merited, and these are deeds honorable and true. But there is only so many verses one can stomach about the conquest of the replication threshold manifold injection systems that have boosted efficiency upon the Targ farm. The meat is juicy. The deeds are true. The recording is tedious.
Dagon makes a sound as if...
It is work that must be done. Someone must do it, and... There is glory, no honor you. Without struggle.
Glory to you.
There is honor in truth, and in truth there is honor. I have a large stack of truth awaiting me.
How fortunate.
And how's the general morale of the crew been in general? Like everyone's excited, good standing. Only an acceptable amount of duels and conflicts.
Yeah, I mean your standard fare aboard Klingon vessels, even one of this cool size. I mean, there's already been a few, shall we say, replacements that have risen up the ranks, as it were. But overall, morale is good. The vibe is one of, I don't know if I would call it hope, but anticipation might be a better word.
Okay.
Everybody realizes that this is a major mission for the Empire, and that if you are indeed able to establish a foothold within the Seg-1 galaxy for the Klingon Empire, that is something that not even Starfleet has done. So it would elevate the Empire above the Federation, which is a huge deal.
Gotcha.
How are the remnants and allies of House Duras or other jerkass houses, what's their representation like on the ship and their interests that might be on the radar here?
Well, I'll just go ahead and shotgun out what houses are normally known on the ship. Now, of course, there might be an element from Duras somewhere in the very low ranks, but here are the houses that you would know about just because they are major houses. So you have House Woa, and this is, again, in the handout, houses aboard the Hanasto. You have House Woa, which are pretty much your leaders, major house with a long and prestigious history, that sort of thing. You have House Kusa, which is kind of a new and eager sort of house. Those are your engineers, more the kind that Dagon deals with. Then you have House Nagak, which are scientists. Good stuff there. You just met one of the House Serve people, good old Growlo. Ironically enough, he is a physician, so double fun for Kanaz.
Fantastic.
Well, perfect. Restless. Should know better, but
you made friends.
You're gonna have pals.
And then the last major house that does not include y'all's major houses is a House Cock. Or is it Cock or is it Chach? I can't do the inflection. It's Q-A-C-H.
Cock?
Kosh. Cock? I'm going to have to change that. That sounds too suggestive.
Hey. House Cock. All right. What are you saying,
yeah,
man?
You'll get definitely... demonetized with that one.
Yeah. You know what? It's funny. We'll leave it and we'll just maybe not mention the house name in future conversation.
YouTube algorithm. Please.
Yeah. Heaven forbid we talk about what happened with House Fuck Full of Shit. Not good.
You just name all the houses after all the things you can't say on television.
I'm not familiar with that house.
Well, this house is, those are your warriors. So a large contingent of warriors and basically your red shirts comes from this house.
Good. Cool.
Nice.
I think it's Koch. If I remember correctly, it's Koch.
Being from the New York Metro, I'm going to say, please don't make it sound like Ed Koch. Cause that's weird. Sure. At Koch, man.
How am I doing? Am I doing honorably? All right.
Oh, Lord. But those are the major houses. The other thing I would say is if it matters to you, there are two minor houses which are of note. You've got House Shez, which is the Targ farm people, and then you have the House of Zar, which does most of the blood wineries.
Oh, nice. Very important minor houses.
Nice. Indeed. What was that last one story again, though?
House of Zar. X-A-R.
Zar. Ah, okay, Zar. Okay. Gotcha.
Nice.
But yeah, I mean, in terms of, again, in terms of Duras and elements that, you know, were a problem earlier in the history of the universe, there's, like I said, probably some elements of Duras, you know, in the lower decks, as it were. But as far as anyone knows, there's not any overt Duras people in anywhere in the command chain.
Gotcha. Okay. Cool.
Well, the other fun thing to discover will be Klingon intelligence. Mm-hmm.
So I think we should talk about that real quick. Are we going with the meme that Klingon intelligence is great because we never hear about them? Or are we going with Klingon intelligence is just one of those things that has never been discussed before?
Can I pull the fact that I've got intelligence officer as a talent and make it like it's great because we've never heard of it? And very much dissuading anything further.
Well. Very much like wink, wink, nudge, nudge sort of thing.
Ah, so they are like purple orcs. They don't exist. Got it.
right.
Yes, that's exactly what you should be thinking about Klingon intelligence.
Okay. They did actually show up in a DS9 episode.
No, they didn't. No, they didn't.
We don't talk about that.
No, it's more like, no, you know what? Talk about the ones that you saw.
Well, I do think that's a good call. That is a good call because we did, you know, there was with time shenanigans and Q shenanigans and other shenanigans. Like, do we know if any of the other factions are heading in have the same direction as us? Like, that's something I feel like could be an intelligence-esque something.
I mean, my guess is, given what we know about the Hanasto, its construction, and its cost, it's probably not possible for any house, conglomeration of houses, or wink, wink, nudge, nudge treaty with the Romulans that could have physically built the Hanasto.
Well, I'll say, I was more worried not as much like treaty with the Romulans, but knowledge that the Romulans are also had a brilliant idea. I don't know, just this got me kind of thinking down that line.
Give the Romulans no credit.
GM is just making notes here. Never
mind. Really? Yeah. Secret Romulans?
Yeah, question mark. Well, what's
sexy
a
sexy goblin? Yeah.
What's a Klingon game without a secret Romulan somewhere?
Oh, of course. Yeah.
What's any Star Trek without a secret Romulan somewhere? Let's be real.
All right. Fair this point. Is when the announcement comes. Attention, crew. One of you has been detected with shoulder pads. Present yourselves for garment inspection. One of you is Tal Shiar.
Beautiful.
All right, well, let's skip ahead a little bit. We're going to go to, if I remember correctly, it was Dagon, and was it Akrok or was it Mori? I might have missed the thread there.
Akrok, him and I are going over to the main home to do our inspections.
Gotcha. And we'll do you, then we'll bounce over to Kanas and Mori. How does that sound? Cool.
Sounds good.
Sounds good, boss.
All right. So... Dagon and Akrok, you all travel to the main hangar bay, which is kind of what we saw in the intro. It is kind of that aft keel underside of the Hanasto where the main home just barely fits. There's maybe a few meters of clearance on either side of the nacelles. But even then, that means the Hanasto is very, very, very large. But what matters is the main hangar bay is not just the birth of the Mangholm. It is also one of the locations where there are just shuttlecraft after shuttlecraft. There's a variety of fighter craft as well.
Nice.
There are the equivalent of Klingon runabouts. And what I would say is that very much similar to a Starfleet vessel, there's the physical door, which seals the bay when not in use. There's also a massive force field through which keeps the atmosphere, gravity, and everything else inside.
Gotcha.
So for the moment, the Mangholm is kind of held in place by a few umbilicals and these kind of claw-like structures that latch on to the Mangholm's wings and to the neck right behind the command bridge. And gotcha. As you go along one of these umbilicals to reach the Mangholm itself, you are stopped by several Honor Guard members. And they just simply go, greetings, Captain and Brigadier. Might I ask your reason for being here?
We come to do an inspection on the Mangholm before we reach our final destination.
I see. Well, we have, and they look at Dagon, we have heard of Dagon's legendary surprise inspections, and we believe we have prepared for an honorable one.
Oh, a challenge.
And the guards step aside and say, enjoy your time on the Mangholm.
Oh, another challenge.
Don't mind if we do.
Yeah. Indeed.
So yeah, you continue on your way and you enter into the Mangholm itself. Now, this might seem like an oxymoron, but for a Klingon vessel, the Mangholm is immaculate. You still have the burnt browns and the dark reds and the obligatory like half mist filling the corridors, because what's a Klingon vessel without all these things?
Right.
But
fog machines are honorable.
Yeah. There's no rust. Everything is regulation. The warriors you stop in the hallway, if you stop any, they very much are very polite, which is weird for a Klingon. They're very polite. They ask or they answer any questions you might have, and they seem very competent. Like, it's not one of those situations where in Starfleet where if you go, hey, you, random ensign, what's your job? What's your name? Right. Timothy?
right.
But my question is, where would you all specifically be heading for the main parts of the inspection?
I know my main task is to inspect the command crew, check with the captain or whatever, whoever is in charge of the vessel at present.
Well, that would be the bridge then.
Yeah, I'm going to the bridge. Yeah, for sure.
Sounds like I'm going to engineering then.
Yay, more split the party.
Yeah, exactly.
No. Going to the bridge first,
right, and then I'll come with you to engineer.
There we go. It. Thank you.
We skip and hold hands. It's fine.
There's right. A picture I'll never be able to get out of my head.
Yeah.
We are merely exchanging long protein strands.
Oh my god!
Well, now I'm going to have to put a warning on this episode if it wasn't already from House Koch.
Right,
so.
we're really in it now.
Oh, Lord, but what's a Klingon game without a little fun of that? But yeah, you arrive on the bridge, and the bridge is, again, immaculate, clean, everything in its place where it should be. The Mangholm is staffed around the clock, so it's not like a auxiliary ship that people have to rush onto to deploy. But immediately, as you step onto the bridge, one of the yeomen, or the Klingon equivalent thereof, says, attention, the surprise inspection team is here. And everybody stands up and turns to salute you in the Klingon sort of fist across the chest manner. And the current captain, let's give him a name, Drellos, Captain Drellos.
Cool.
And I'll put that in chat. Captain Drellos kind of does that fist bump across his chest and goes, Captain Dagon, Brigadier Akroc, we were expecting your surprise.
Honor with you. It seems that word spread rather quickly, but
impressive intelligence there.
Well, as of Kalos's proverbs say, a prepared warrior is a warrior that lives.
Indeed.
Very good. Positive marks to start off, Captain.
Well, where would you like to begin? I can show you all of our bridge stations, our current sensor readouts, whatever it is that you require to inspect.
So we'd like to see your bridge stations, your bridge officers. I'd like to speak with you privately at the end, just to make sure that you are fit, capable, willing, and able to command with your current staff. Afterwards, I know that Dagon wishes to inspect your engineering crew and main engineering as well.
And it's at this point that Akroc and Dagon, I need you to make a... Let's call this an insight and con. Or an insight... Would it be insight command or insight con? Let's make it an insight and con.
Okay.
It will be a difficulty of 2. And if you have anything related to reading body language, anything related to behavioral analysis, that would apply here. And I'll let you two decide who's assisting who.
Let's see. Behavior analysis. Would helm operation potentially come in? This is not for the like body analysis, but just making sure that all of the systems are...
This particular task is related to something about the captain, not the vessel.
Gotcha. Okay, so. Perfect. Yeah, I have composure, arbitration, but neither of these would really apply there, I don't think.
I could maybe give you composure.
Composure? Okay.
All right. Intimidation?
Gotcha. I could give you intimidation.
Okay, nice.
All right, I like it.
Do you are you assisting, or...?
Yeah, I'll assist.
Okay, copy. I'll go ahead and spend momentum. We'll go up to 3. And then you're assisting, so we should be okay, hopefully.
Well, there's an assist, and there's another 3. Oh, so wow. I believe you are capped on momentum. Well done.
Nice.
Yep.
So as much as a strong front as the captain is putting on, there's something that Drellos is not telling you. And it's one of those things where if this were like a lie detector test, it's one of those like he's anticipating having to lie in the near future. But you don't know what it is he's about to try and lie about, if that makes any sense.
Gotcha. I'll just stare him directly in his eyes, be like, I'm sensing that a one-on-one discussion would be more prudent here at the beginning. You and I, Captain, to your quarters or ready room, please.
Of course, perhaps we should bring along Captain Dagon as well.
Oh, I'd like that.
Good, good.
So you adjourn to the captain's ready room, which I don't think we've ever really seen on a Klingon vessel.
Just one big foggy pit.
DS9.
Is it DS9? It wouldn't surprise me if it was DS9. Rotaran.
Oh yeah.
I'm going to have to go back and watch DS9 because it's been a while. You step into the ready room. It's a fairly large, especially because it's a Negvar class. There's a personal targ pit in here. There's a personal sort of storage of blood wine barrels. There is no random fish in an aquarium like Picard has. But there is a very much a large skull of some kind of creature that sort of hangs above the main desk where the captain could sit. And the captain doesn't go behind his desk. He actually lets Akroc or Dagon take that seat, and the captain will stand instead of sitting, unless you want him to sit.
No, it's fine. He can make his choice. But I'll go walk behind his desk and start opening some drawers and just looking through his stuff, very nonchalantly.
Remain standing.
Captain, you are not as apt at hiding your nervousness as you might believe. Let's try again, and this time. Speak your truth plainly.
Well, if I'm being honest, sirs, I may have brought something aboard the Hanasto that could cause incidents.
Oh, this is intriguing.
And he actually goes over to the targ pens, where there is a targ or two, just kind of small little things there, just sort of making a mess. He actually goes over to one of the targs, and Dagon, you're going to recognize this immediately. He taps one of the targs behind the right ear, and the targ freezes up, and you realize as the part of the targ opens up that these are artificial targs. These are not real targs. But as this targ opens up, there's a compartment, and coming out of this compartment, the captain shows you what looks to be an ancient Herc weapon. Now, as a reminder for anybody who's not familiar with Klingon history, the Herc are the ancient enemies of the Klingon. They're also what the Sword of Kalis is made out of. They are also what some of the major Klingon technology is based upon. So having a Herc weapon...
And something that Dagon's very, very, how would I say, cognizant of.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so this is kind of a big deal.
Mm-hmm. Well, what do we have here?
Well, as part of my tenure within the Klingon Empire, I acquired this on a rogue planet that we had to destroy to prevent a Herc weapon from detonating and taking out half the sector. I have never been able to get the weapon to work. However, and he looks, if a Klingon can look sheepish, he looks a little sheepish. I was hoping to present this to you, Captain, when it was working properly.
And if I understand correctly, you need help to make it work correctly, right?
That is correct, yes. My engineers have been unable to discern the device's secrets.
Hmm. Well, it would be an honor to accept such a gift. I could use, things to occupy my downtime.
You have downtime?
Don't tell anybody.
Uh-oh, engineer said he's free.
So it's almost as if, you know, one of those telltale things where it's the GM will remember this.
Right, yeah.
That's okay.
But yeah, after he gives you the device, and I should say the device kind of looks like a cross between a Batleth and a phaser rifle, which might seem like an odd combination. It's kind of one of those things where... Was it Babylon 5 or Stargate that had the bladed things? Maybe it was Firefly. I'm getting all my sci-fi mixed up. But it's one of those things where the device arcs and has a blade or a bayonet at the end. And it is very much meant to be a ranged and melee weapon in one.
Battlestar Galactica had them.
That's probably
They also had an SG-1. They had that big, like, staff of the Gaul.
The Cylons. The Cylons had rifles as well with bayonets at the end there.
That might be what I'm thinking of.
Yeah.
But he gives you the device. And what I would say is a sort of mechanics perspective is that you can work on this in your spare time. And after you've acquired so many successes, we'll say the device starts working again.
Interesting. Cool. Okay.
Yeah. Other than that, the captain says, that is the only secret that I hold aboard this vessel. I am very much committed to the success of the Hanaso and her mission, as are the rest of my crew.
I hope that it's
an interesting beginning.
Right. In the future, do not attempt to smuggle anything onto your ship.
Then you do not wish to have one of my casks of blood wine, he says with a smile.
Oh, wow.
All right, you've got me, but... your personal blood wine scores are different than a potentially dangerous Herc weapon. I'm sure that you understand and are aware of the differences between those two things. I do not need to explain them to you, correct?
Well, it's funny you say that because then he points at one of the casks. That is actually a barrel of 2205.
Whoa.
It is only fair in an inspection that we sampled them as well.
Very well. And as he breaks out a bunch of cups so you all can sample the bloodline, we're going to shift over to Kanas and Mori. So Kanas and Mori, what are you two up to?
So I was trying to think about what would you be doing in the sick bay, and I was thinking that we may want to be considering what sort of potential inoculations for alien viruses and other unhonorable germ warfare we may be running into.
Okay. So kind of doing your inoculation work ahead of time. I like it.
Yeah, and we could use some of the... losers of the underlings battles as our test subjects, you know, recruit them into, you know, vaccine trials, as it were. They're here anyway, getting patched up.
There is glory in experimentation.
Okay. So I'm just trying to think how to frame this in a scene. So let's say that the way we can rope Mori into this is, Mori, you're having to fill out the paperwork or have people fill out the paperwork to consent to be a part of these trials. And it's one of those things where you have just finished inoculating a set of red shirts, because I can't think of what else to call them.
I don't know what I was into. It's like, I'm like, they're not, yeah, let's say they're not red shirts. They're not. It's like, I'm like, I don't know. I don't off the top of my head have enough of the Klingon culture to know what it is, but basically your lower deckers getting into scuffles and trying to, like, you know, puff up and like look all high and mighty. And then they go and like sever their pinky finger, and you're just like, oh, not again. Okay.
I think they're called Bex.
Yes. Okay. Yeah. I was like, I knew what I was talking about. Yeah. So we got to just make sure it's like, okay, you're not going to bleed out. All right. Okay. By the way, we want to make sure that you're not going to die from this, like, you know, Angorian fungus that we think might be coming up or whatever.
I believe we had like 15,000 of them, if I recall.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Well,
you have 15,000 souls aboard the Hanast. Well, it's more like 14,500 now with all the honor dueling, but hey.
Oh, of course.
Do we, like, okay, replenish our ranks at all? I was actually thinking about this too, like, because if people just keep taking themselves out in honor duels.
What do you think the target pits are for?
I don't know where you're going with this, but we're definitely...
that's for the dead meat.
Let's just say that for sake of argument, it is one of those things where unless you start taking major damage and start losing chunks of crew from hull breaches, you're not really ever going to have to worry about crew. Well, I should also say if you get in any major land battles, that might come into play.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But for the moment, you don't have to worry about running out of crew.
Cool.
We can conscript from those that we conquer.
There you go. That's a Klingon notion.
The Judge Pui.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's
it. All right, so Mori's here to help me make sure the paperwork is in order. Mm-hmm. Because I guess we need to know who was inoculated. You know, I guess we need to keep track of who got injected with what while we were patching them up. And, you know, you don't need all those fingers, right? They're kind of redundant.
We must obtain their consent, Doctor. Anything else is tantamount to Romulan medical experimentation, and we will not have that on this fleet.
We will not have that. You are correct, sir. Though Kanas is not thrilled about the paperwork, but begrudgingly agrees that, yes, we can't be like the Romulan scum.
Fine. Bring in the next one.
All right. So, interestingly, who steps into your sickbay next? And actually, let's take a moment to describe your sickbay, because this is one of many locations aboard the Hanasta where you can get medical treatment. If you're doing this in the main sickbay, or I believe it's the main surgeon bay is what it's called on a Klingon vessel, it is one of those things where you have about 3 surgical tables with various sorts of screens and implement arms that sort of dangle above it. You have about 6 bio beds, which tend to be reserved for major injuries that other locations aboard the vessel can't treat. You also have several stasis tubes that you can put people in stasis into. You also have, if you ever wanted one for some reason, the main surgeon bay does come with a Klingon EMH, which I haven't decided what voice to use for him yet, but be that as it may.
That'll be cool. I'm begging you, just make him Robert Picardo with no changes.
Right.
Should he still be human, or should he have Klingon ridges instead?
I said no changes.
You don't understand. Mike, Vaughn has a photo of the doctor, a signed photo of the doctor in our house.
Oh.
Oh.
Then, yeah, I think maybe for giggles, maybe it really is Picardo. Who knows?
Nice.
But who steps into your maid surgeon bay is actually a human. And you would recognize this human as being Tom Banks. He is actually the owner and proprietor of the Ruby of the Sea bar. And what you would know about Ruby of the Sea is that this is what the quote-unquote normal officers of the Hanasto go to. This is the... If Quarks is what you would have on DS9, this is kind of what we see in Lower Decks. I'm blanking on the name of the club that we see in Lower Decks.
Yeah, the Cerritos with the olives logo, that one, right?
Yeah, that one. But basically, this is a huge bar. Like, we're talking 3, 4, maybe 5 levels. Almost like Arya's bar on Omega, to use a Mass Effect reference, where this club can fit hundreds upon hundreds of people. The music is always blasting. Credits, blood, wine, everything flows freely in the Ruby of the Sea. But Tom Banks himself, the owner, he looks to be your average mid-20s individual. So you can tell that this guy's young, even for a human. He actually is fairly well muscular, and he's actually wearing a sleeveless vest, so you can kind of see his biceps and all that, almost like he's trying to fit in on a Klingon vessel. Nice. He has short cropped hair, and the reason he's coming to your surgeon bay is because his arm is very much dislocated and maybe hanging on by a few tendons.
Yikes.
All right, here we go.
Doctor, and are your inoculations calibrated for a human?
No, but we'll skip that one for now. Alright, what did you do? Who'd you piss off?
Well, it wasn't me that pissed them off. I actually tried to step in and stop a fight, and daggers came out, and he motions at his arm. I found out very quickly that daggers are not armless.
So you injected yourself into a duel of honor, and you are still standing.
Oh, no, I should clarify. This was not a duel of honor. This was a scuffle that was between two very drunk Klingons.
Fine, a scuffle of honor.
Don't we have, I'm just gesturing, more appropriate security to handle such scuffles? Gesturing at the human who I'm assuming, despite his best efforts, is still going to be a human on a Klingon ship in terms of size.
Mm-hmm. And he actually kind of smiles and laughs in a very, very Klingon way, where he throws his head back the whole 9 yards. He says, "It's funny you say that. I actually had some of my security with me, and part of the reason I got hit with the dagger was because I made the mistake of tripping at a very inopportune moment. You could say that I had fallen for the ruse." And yes, Tom Banks is going to make a lot of puns. Deal with it.
All right.
Do we know if Tom Banks speaks Klingon, or at least understands it?
Oh, he's speaking fluent Klingon, actually. Like, this isn't coming through the Universal Translator. This is, like, legit, like, Klingon.
Is there, like, a Klingon dialect that he might not know? I'm kidding. I'm just trying to think of a way to, like, talk over his head.
There are, yes.
Yeah, so there if I had to dialect. Use a real-world stereotype... which please don't crucify me for. You've got American English, and then you've got like British English, and then you have pidgin, I think is the word I want to use. Pidgin's kind of that combination of a bunch of languages. So,
ooh, yeah, we can go like patois, like Jamaican Klingon. Ooh, yeah.
Yeah, there you go. But basically, there are like levels or quote unquote different variants of Klingon that you could use to speak in higher or lesser gravitas, I think is the word I want to use.
But we can't necessarily, you know, he might get that if we're trying to use one of those to talk over his head, he would probably understand. Gotcha. Correct. Well, doctor, you are the medical officer. I defer to your opinion as to whether he should be a test subject and whether or not we should be going over the matters of honor that attend to it.
How many non-Klingons are on the ship? I'm curious if, you know, I would have thought like there would have been enough of population that, okay, I guess we have to make sure these guys, you know, we account for physiology and more just like, okay, are you bleeding out? Okay, you're not bleeding out.
I'm just looking through my notes here. According to my notes, you have about 1,500 non-Klingon souls aboard the vessel.
Oh, so that's actually a pretty... Yeah, not negligible thing. So I think, you know, in that case, Hras would want to take the opportunity to ensure for the safety of the rest of the crew that nobody else is going to be patient zero for any possible alien flu viruses. All right, well, currently, as part of the package deal, we patch you up, but Mori over here has some bureaucratic paperwork.
Mr. Banks, do you have any objection to the he's paging through a pad here, use of certain medical trials and other possibilities that would grant you certain possible immunities but have unknown consequences and are considered by the Klingon medical establishment and the applicable bodies of honorable regulation to be untested? And do you consent to these procedures or do you not consent to receive them at this time?
And Banks actually laughs and says, ah, one of those medical trials back in Starfleet, but with a Klingon twist. I like it. I like it. I mean, hey, you know, if I grow an extra arm, maybe I don't have to come and have you sew back on this one again.
Then normally we would have you sign in blood, but since you have already gone through the politeness of, Maury's just going to look at his dangling arm, opening up the fountain, I will just take this sample here. And he just kind of smears the blood input on the pad because it's a Klingon pad and that's how you do things. Mm-hmm. Doctor, he's all yours. All right. Please try not to mutate him.
All right. Well.
All right. Kanas, very funny roll because if you roll another complication tonight, I will just lose it. This is going to be a control and a medicine. The difficulty will be a 2.
And how close is the sword that she got from Glorythar in case
just
things...
in case? Oh, would I have that on this? I mean, I think I would probably have that.
You're a Klingon doctor. You have it on your
person.
I'm
going to have that up instead of a diploma. Let's be real.
So the blade is nearby if you need it.
I would say, yeah. I mean, yeah. You know how doctors have their various degrees on display at a Klingon? Yeah, you're going to have the prize ballast. Like, come on. Would I be able to... I don't know if this counts as emergency medicine.
No, it's not quite.
Because it's not really emergency. He just did a dumb. So I guess it's just standard medicine. Okay, yeah, all right. Control medicine, here we go. 2 dice, let's do this.
Oh, you do have 6 momentum. Okay, so I can't offer you a success with a complication.
All right, you said it would be funny if we had a complication, so, you know, I'm here for it.
Don't do it. We're at 8 threat. Do you want the arm to go Borg?
I don't know that I'd go that far. So here's what happens. You reattach his arm. Everything looks good. And then you look at his arm, and you realize you have committed a grave sin. You were thinking Klingon biology, not human biology. And the arm is on backwards.
Nice.
Does it work?
It does, nice. But the arm is on backwards.
Nice.
Do you want me to fix it? Or...
And it's one of those things where, you know, Banks goes to lift his arm up and it actually moves down. And he goes, okay, that... Doc, I'm going to be honest. This is weird. Should it be moving like this?
If you had superior physiology... No. But here we are. We could re-break it and reattach, and I just, like, crack my knuckles.
I believe that might be a good idea, because if I have to deal with this, I might be spilling blood wine on customers, which we don't want.
Nor do we want to invoke the medical malpractice clauses of honor, unless, Doctor, you would like to deal with his 4th and 5th through 7th generations that come to claim honor against you.
Just stare at the lawyer. Oh, why do we have one of these here? All right. Well, I won't promise this won't hurt because it probably will hurt. And we'll re-snap and re-attach, reconjigger. I'm not sure the right verb to use. Should I roll again? That was kind of funny.
No, you're
but...
good. No roll required for this.
I think it's pretty funny, though.
Yeah. So as you, he actually doesn't scream in pain like you were expecting. He kind of just grunts like, but as you reattach his arm the correct way, that's where we're going to take a 5 to 10 minute break. We'll be back shortly, everybody.
Nice.
All right. I get to fix the furnace again.
and welcome back to part two of session three of Star Trek Hanasto, where we've had surprise inspections, surprise arm reattachments, and just some general fluff for a vessel of this size, which I always do appreciate when the players like to indulge in fluff because it's fun for me as a game master because I have to make shit up on the spot, which is great.
Yeah.
But I did want to at least introduce the beginnings of a B plot here. Mm-hmm. So it's been maybe about 30 minutes since Akrok and Dagon have begun enjoying the 2205 Bloodwine with the good captain of the Mangholm. And it's maybe been about 10 minutes since Kanas and Mori dealt with Banks. And all of you are going to get a chirp on your comm badge or the Klingon equivalent thereof that asks for you to report to one of the dive bars aboard the Hanasto, specifically the Re'etulu, which literally means there is always a chance. And this club is definitely a dive bar, and it is located near the Hanasto's hangar bays. So a lot of engineers, a lot of pilots spend their downtime there.
Cool.
I love Klingon Top Gun already.
Yeah, this is I'm loving this. I want to go to a bar tonight now. Not a Klingon bar, but maybe a regular bar.
But yeah, I guess unless I don't want to force you there, but do you all go or do you send underlings or?
No, yeah. Dagon.
Did they call? Yeah, they didn't call for like a representative from departments X, Y, and Z. I mean, they called for us, right?
Yeah, was it like a specific call? Okay, I'll look. I'll stare at Tom Banks and be like, "You know anything about this?"
No. But I mean, it's a dive bar. These things happen.
All right. I you know, pull one of the other whoever else is on staff and be like, keep an eye on him, and you know, I slip her a vial. I'm like, and make sure he gets that in about 15 minutes.
15 minutes, aye.
All right. You did fill out the paperwork.
Wait, is that don't my job, too?
Maury's going to toss the orderly pad. Yes, it is. Make sure that he bleeds in triplicate on it.
Okay.
Dagon says to Akrok, next time I'm beaming in.
Completely understandable. Very valid, yes.
Then they'll be surprised.
Right. we'll get better with these in time, I'm sure. But yes, let's go see what we have to do.
All right. So, Re'etulu is, like I said, a dive bar. It is quite literally a hole in the wall where... it's just one of those things. You're walking down a corridor near the hangar bays and a door will open up and there is just this tiny little bar compared to everything else aboard the Hanasto. You could fit maybe 20, 30 people in here, standing room only. It's a tiny ass bar for how many people frequent it. But interestingly, when you arrive, the honor guard has cordoned off the area. There is kind of this throng of Klingons that are trying to figure out why their favorite bar is closed. And waiting for you, along with the honor guard, is the owner and bartender, Katrigus. And I will put their name in chat as well. Actually, I think it's Katrig Russ is what his name is.
Gotcha.
But as you all arrive, Katrigus kind of looks you all and goes, thank you all for coming on such a short notice. I would have asked for someone beneath your station if I thought it necessary, but I believe you all are in, shall we say, need to know about what's happened inside. Please follow me.
Very well.
And when you enter the bar, you see that it's very obvious that another fight took place. But a very different kind of fight took place here. Before, everything that you've dealt with so far today has been just drunken brawls or, you know, light honor dueling. Nothing of this magnitude. All the bar stools have been broken. Some of the booths have had their... I guess Klingons wouldn't have cushioning. They would just have flat slabs of stone. Some of the stone has been charred as if hit by disruptors. And... lying on the ground in the middle of all this wreckage and debris is a dead Klingon. He is very much dead. But you notice that he has some residue on his exposed skin. And if you want any additional information, you will have to scan him with a tricorder.
Yes.
Is he honorably dead is the question.
That is a good question that a medical tricorder might be able to discern.
Medical tricorders detect honor?
Yes. It's a feature.
It's a Klingon. Yeah, Klingon feature only. You need special, special OS for it.
Yeah.
All right, what's the role for that?
This is going to be a reason and a medicine. I am going to set the difficulty at a 4. But remember, you do have 6 momentum with which you can buy additional dice.
I'm trying to think if I have anything that might be helpful.
Let me take a look.
I'm taking a look.
If you buy at least one die with threat, you will trigger bold medicine, which will allow you to reroll. All
right. I think I was going to get at least, we say, one die, two. What are we feeling, fam?
Definitely, you want to at least go up to 4. So at least.
All right, I'll buy two, and then that'll trigger bold medicine. Okay, because I'm looking at what I have.
So that's 2 momentum, 1 threat.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Somebody could probably assist. Would assist still be you said presence medicine? What do you say?
It would be reason medicine.
Reason
medicine.
Oh, and do I move the complication range or no? That's just.
I mean, I could spend threat, but nah, leave it as is.
Leave it as is. Okay.
I'm not very good at helping in this specific thing. I don't know if there's anybody that is better, but medicine is not my thing.
Klingons and medicine don't exactly mix.
Negative here.
It's fair. I get it. Yes, it's not conceived as always honorable, blah, blah, blah. Nonetheless.
I've got a 10. If anybody can beat that, they should do it. If not, I can.
All right.
Yeah,
I got a 12.
I just need to know if there's anything else I need to adjust to do this roll.
No, I think you're good.
On my end. Okay, so I'm taking the 2 momentum, so I'm moving the dice pool to 4.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so you're almost there, but again, you have bold medicine.
You can
re-roll that complication.
All right, so I know it says okay. So, I don't hit re-roll results. I just re-roll one die? Like,
either way, it should do the same thing. There you go. So that's a grand total of 4 successes. So do you want the good news or the bad news?
Guess we'll start with the good news.
Good news. This Klingon did die honorably. Your tricorder is about 90% sure that he died with honor.
The honor particle reading is acceptable. Yeah.
Listen, if there's interferon particles, there's some kind of honor detection. So the bad news is that residue that's on his limbs, that's changeling stuff.
Oh, no.
Changeling stuff, or like,
is it like a changeling? Like,
is it a changeling juice, or right? Just changeling juice?
Changeling juice. It'd be the residue. Yeah. Like, if you were slapped by a changeling in their liquid form, this would be what would be left behind.
Even less honorable than Romulans.
Is the doctor telling anybody about this? Are you saying anything about changelings?
Do we know about changelings? Like.
You do. Changelings were very much a feature of the Dominion War. In fact, I think it would probably be a standing order of some sort to either dispatch or contain or maybe destroy every changeling on site. But since this is a game of Star Trek Adventures, I leave that call to you all.
All right. Changelings are super duper mega not honorable. The technical term.
But is the doctor saying, yep, my medical tricorder has detected changelings, or are you keeping Sub-Rosa about it? It's like, I have some odd readings.
No, we are eradicating those effers. I'm going to not try to burn your
good.
Sensors anymore. Like, yeah, we do not stand. That is the subterfuge and shape-shifting, not acceptable here. Like,
I'll turn
very against that. Like, I do not know if it is worth alerting the entire ship the best method, you know.
I looked at Katigris, right?
Mm-hmm.
How recently did this occur?
About an hour ago, when I ran my own tricorder over it, I was very much alarmed by what I saw. So you are very much sure, Captain Kanas, that we are dealing with a changeling.
No question about it. And it would be, if your sensor also detected two failures, not going to happen here.
Who did this and where are they now?
Yes, we need more information.
Do you have security footage?
I do, yes. And he actually goes over to behind the bar. And if you all want to watch this, you're like crowding behind like a clown car, just trying to like look over each other's shoulder. But there's a little screen there, and he shows you the footage. And what you see is that the bar is packed. There's two Klingons at the bar, one of which is the one that's dead on the floor. Mm-hmm. And the first Klingon, the one that's on the floor, is having a conversation with another Klingon. Now, this other Klingon looks to be normal. There's nothing really that stands out about him. Nothing special about his forehead ridges, nothing special about his hair, nothing special about his armor. Very much a quote-unquote NPC, if you get the vibe right.
Right, right.
But they're having a conversation, and then something happens to the footage. The footage glitches out for a period of about 5 seconds. And in that 5 seconds, what we see is that the first Klingon, the one on the floor, has been knocked to the ground. And the second Klingon, the nondescript one, is savagely beating him over the head with a stool.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
Now, the footage continues where, you know, some of the other Klingons in the bar try to stop the fight, you know, try to calm things down. Because, again, very small bar. They don't want to ruin the vibe. But what you see is this nondescript Klingon is throwing off multiple Klingons at once, where, you know, 2, 3, maybe even 4 people try and tackle him, and he just throws them off like they're nothing. And eventually it gets to the point where the bar is in such disarray and there's so many unconscious Klingons that this nondescript Klingon kind of just sprints out of the bar, and then there's no more footage of him. He just sort of disappears into the corridor you came from.
Why would a bar full of proud Klingon warriors, shuttle and fighter pilots and the like, stop this? And why were they overpowered so easily?
Changelings are not an enemy to be trifled with or underestimated.
They saw not a changeling. They saw a fight between warriors. This is nothing new. There is a reason why they began to intervene. We must find the witnesses.
Agreed.
Let's find out about the dead guy.
Yeah. See who he is.
What was his role?
What's his role, rank?
In the ship.
Okay.
If he was targeted for a specific reason.
If you want to spend a momentum, I can answer that question.
Yeah.
Can I do you one better before we start spending momentum?
Mm-hmm.
Does intelligence officer talent grant anything to possible speculation on changeling motivations? You know, we know that they've been beaten back to the Gamma Quadrant, but where, you know, how could their incursions have led them into anything? Were there any risks known during the construction of the Hanasto? Is there any intel background that the crew might not be privy to, but Mori might have an idea of?
Well, since you are the intelligence officer, if you'd like to use your free advantage for the mission, I can let you get the answer to those questions.
Mission being the entire campaign, or mission being this one session?
Just this session.
Yeah, let's use that.
Okay. So here's what you know about changelings from an intelligence perspective. There have been whisperings, not just in the Klingon intelligence, but also in Starfleet and Romulan and all the other intelligence, the Tal Shiars, the Obsidian Orders, you get the vibe. That the changelings have begun leaving the Great Link and are once again trying to infiltrate the various echelons of the galaxy once more. However, it's a different vibe than what you experienced during the Dominion War, where they were deliberately trying to sabotage or deliberately trying to, shall we say, make a mess of things, is maybe a simple way to put it. the changelings that have been discovered thus far very much have been tight-lipped, and if they've been allowed, they go back to the Great Link without complaints. But even things like the Tal Shiar trying to use Romulan techniques hasn't been effective at getting answers out of these changelings. Mm-hmm. Now, as for why a changeling would be aboard the Hanasto, all I would point out is that this is technically the galaxy's first intergalactic voyage. Mm-hmm. So the changelings would definitely want to keep tabs on that, at least in some regard.
Looking for new lakes.
Well, congratulations to the changelings for having learned how to do lips properly and keep them, but to keep them tight is not good for us. Yeah, Mori is definitely not going to share this as of yet.
Okay. Probably a good idea since the bartender is still there.
Right. I mean, I think, yeah, because I mean, I think it's definitely obvious that if the bartender picked up, like, yo, this is a changeling, I think the next step is, did the witnesses think that was the case? Like, was there any, like, flashes of changeling, you know, during the scuffle that was not on the security footage that might have blown the cover, so to speak?
Yeah, did they stop the guy because they, hold up, he's a changeling, we want to interrogate him?
Or stop the guy, this is not an honorable duel. Like, that's the avenue.
Well, for that, I actually turned to Captain Dagon, who's the engineer of the group. Dagon, if you'd like to run some analysis on the footage, this would be a reason in engineering at a difficulty of 3.
Alrighty then. Starships. All right. Let's use a momentum for an extra dice.
Okay.
And I'm wondering if I have an applicable focus.
Let's take a gander.
Reverse engineering.
Reverse engineering sounds like a good one to me.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's let her rip. Woo-hoo.
3 successes. So yes, now that you know what to look for in the footage, you do see that there are flashes where, like, the shoulder pads or parts of the face do kind of have that flux or that sort of shimmer that happens when a changeling is going between forms. So it is very much possible that the reason the bar stepped in and didn't let the duel, quote-unquote, continue was because people noticed that this person was a changeling.
Okay.
Makes sense. Can we find out about the dead Klingon,
dead
though?
Dead guy.
The dead guy. What would you like to know about the dead guy?
Rank.
Well, his rank, his role.
Yeah, role, yeah.
Okay. Quarters as well. He was the lieutenant helmsman of the Yi. The IKS Vestarg. He is the helmsman for the Vestarg.
Okay. Targ. Okay. Cool. Oh, and where his quarters, are they on?
They ship? Are on the Vestarg.
Gotcha.
I assume we have access to this helmsman's, like, file?
Yes, you would. In fact, at your rank, you can look up his entire history without issue.
Anything that connects him to disgraced Duras types, questionable or less honorable intentions?
Well, let's history. Have you do a roll here. This is going to be a reason and command on your part. I am going to set the difficulty to 3.
Let's see. Would psychology play into it at all? Trying to get
most
state
definitely.
Of mind. Okay.
Can I assist as well in this?
If you tell me how.
Yeah, I'd like to also just kind of check in if I have any access to kind of historical personnel files. If I had already, let's say, done my command inspection of that, if I would have taken any notes on this individual or anything there.
Sure, you can assist with your, let's call yours an insight and command assist.
Copy that.
And you will have a focus of leadership.
Copy that. And I also do have a commanding bloodline as well, so.
So they you can't ignore the first complication rule.
Yep.
Hell yeah, command with that bloodline.
Let's go, baby.
Well,
command harder.
Yeah, okay.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So
standard issue Klingon.
As a reminder, teachable moment. Yep. Maury, if you would care to use your determination here, you could re-roll those, but you got to tell me what value applies in order to spend your determination.
Let's see. And replenishing determination, how does that happen?
Happens every mission. So and kind of every session, unless it's a two-parter.
And if I challenge the value and I replenish the determination, does the value return or does it morph into a different value?
So you use a value to trigger determination. Challenging a value is a different thing where you act against the value in some way and get a point of determination back.
Got it. Then, yeah, let's make that determination happen. And this is going to be one of those where if we... his file yields no information, but a file is not always the truest one, and the honorable path is not always obvious. We must dig deeper.
All right, and you can reroll your 18 and your 16 there.
Okay.
All right, two successes. So
that's better.
It was a difficulty of 3, so I can't offer you a success with a complication.
Mm-hmm. Sure, let's see how complicated
look,
this gets.
Look, can't do much worse than sewing on someone's arm backwards. Well, I mean, you could. Famous
don't,
last
not,
words.
Not
famous
so words. Loud. There's a DM in the room.
So, you do
you're definitely
find...
no fun, that's for sure, at the table.
Yeah. You do find the service record of this lieutenant. It's very much a standard, you know, started as a Beck, worked up through the ranks, got promoted because of merits and duels, etc., etc. But interestingly, there is a gap in the records. And the complication is going to be that this is a very obvious gap. As in, you could look at this file and tell someone has deleted part of this record. And even when you check the other computer banks on the Hanasto, when you query the Klingon High Command back on Kronos, because you're still within range of subspace, his record has been deliberately expunged.
Well.
Do we okay, so has it been expunged like purposely? Did somebody redact this, or was this a clumsy covering of the steps?
The latter, where you as an intelligence officer would recognize that someone wanted to cover their tracks and did it very quickly.
Got it. So delete. And so this was done in haste. And all right. We have here an attempt to move records around and obfuscate personal details of the victim. We do not know why. Does the what date range does the deleted information cover?
About the 2-year period in which the Hanasto was constructed.
So post-Dominion War.
Correct.
Someone wanted to ensure that there was nothing directly connecting this victim to the Hanasto, or that would bar him from serving on it.
And which house does he belong to?
He belongs to one of the minor houses. Let me consult. Yeah. He belongs to the Lari house.
Okay.
And I'll put it in chat. There you go.
Gotcha. Interesting. I think it's prudent if we do a full autopsy on him in private, not here.
Certainly not here. I don't have any of my equipment.
Correct.
And if the records have holes, but Klingon memories may not, there may be somebody who knows of him.
House Lori. We need to know who in House Lori would have access to make these changes, if preferably both on the Hanasto and in Kronos itself. Someone with access to records or the ability to gain access to them without authorization.
Oh, that's a very long list, unfortunately.
Mm-hmm. And it might not have been him. It may have been done by somebody not affiliated with him.
Then who wants something out of House Lowry? What would benefit them to ensure that the helmsman from this house would be dead at changeling hands?
We are, of course, just investigating this thread. I will go and inform Admiral Zark immediately, and I believe after that.
What's the specialization of House Lowry? Lowry.
Lowry are just pilots. Usual, just pilots, helmsmen, okay. That sort of thing.
Gotcha. Mm-hmm. I'll go and take this news to Admiral Zark, and then we'll move to his quarters to investigate, see if I can find anything that could potentially lead back to him being targeted for any specific reasons. But you are correct, Mori. We need to find the witnesses, attempt to see if there's anything that we may have missed, and try to keep this under wraps, of course.
We cannot keep this under wraps any more than we can contain all the molecules in the galaxy. Word will get out. What would benefit a changeling? What would benefit the changelings from one dead helmsman from one auxiliary ship? Does this victim have any relatives, any members of their house who would seek vengeance, who would stand to benefit, or who would be particularly detrimented? What wedge could they drive?
The GM is silent for a reason.
Right, exactly. Well, good. Seek weaknesses.
Need a momentum there?
Yeah, if you want to. Actually, chat just did give you a momentum if you want to spend it immediately.
Go for it.
All right. So the answer to that question is that Lowry, the House of Lowry, is fairly well known in the Klingon Empire for being stellar pilots. They're not quite like Federation Red Squad, if you get the reference, but they're still kind of up there. They're not leading Top Gun, but they're the people that go to Top Gun, to even use a different reference. But there's nothing really to gain here other than the ire of House Lowry. I mean, this lieutenant, as far as the record reads, he wasn't doing anything important. He wasn't part of any experiment. He wasn't part of the intelligence. He was just a helmsman for a bird of prey attached to the Hanasto.
Is his replacement particularly qualified? Is the replacement not as good as this current helmsman?
It would be the difference between going from someone who got all A's to maybe B pluses, if that makes any sense.
So it's not like knocking him off gains, you know, or lowers our ability to navigate or anything like that.
Right.
But it also serves to possibly create a snowbird. It would be worth not only looking into what the Admiral might know and the witnesses, but also anything, what other oddities might have happened. This may be a broader attempt to throw us off of a more sinister plot. It's too obvious. It is too easy to note that there is a problem here. If we follow the problems, we will only find more.
And because I think
I like to delegate problems.
Everything's on the table, so obviously we need to investigate as many threads as we can to see if we can uncover some of this.
Kalish once said, though I may carry 99 problems into a battle, a Batak never will be one.
Nice.
And because I think this is a dramatically appropriate time, this is where we get that Battlestar Galactica music and we see on the screen how many changelings remain? ... And that's where we're going to make this a two-parter, because I think it's interesting.
Yep. No arguments for us.
How many remain?
No, that's great. Because it's one of those things where because your journey to Seg 1 is 3 months, I had to come up with something to keep you all busy keep us and occupied. Entertained. Uh-huh. Yeah.
Soaring changelings. That'll definitely keep people busy.
Keening, oh, yeah. Soaring choral vocal intensifies.
Nice. Oh, Lord. But what did you guys think? That was definitely more of a fluff episode, but what did you guys think?
I love this fluff. Fluff
is great.
Wait,
gives us time to... Give us time to chill a bit, you know, chat and character, that sort of thing. It's nice.
Absolutely. And kind of help find our footing, which is working on.
I can't wait to dig more into Tom Banks. Either he's the changeling or he's got some fun shit. Like, there's a reason why this human is trying to fit in. Had we more time, I would have been digging into him. Got some of that psychology shit. What does this human want to do? What is your, as they say, mother issue?
Nice.
Well, it's a two-parter, so you're going to retain your momentum and all that. So, this will be interesting. But yeah,
Dr. Koch, Klingon psychiatrist.
All right. Well, Twitch, this is where we're going to raid somebody. But YouTube, we'll see you later. Bye, perfect. YouTube.
Bye, YouTube.